In our preaching through the Bible, we are in the book of the Revelation. And after about 5 full months preaching in the first chapter, we have come to the last message and are beginning these introductory messages into the second and third chapters. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, chapter 2 and verse 1. And the title of the sermon is The Seven Angels of the Seven Churches. Revelation 1:16, and he had in his right hand 7 stars. Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Then begins chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. Unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write. Then unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, in Sardis, in Laodicea write. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand. The 7 stars are the angeloi, translated here, angels of the 7 churches. The star is the angelos. The aster is the angelos. The star is the angel. Therefore, the angel is not a symbol, because the star is the symbol, and for the symbol to be a symbol of a symbol would be to reduce the apocalypse into enigmatic riddle. You could never find your way through it. It would be divested thereof of all semblance of reason and rationality. Therefore, the aster, the star, refers to somebody who is in charge of the church at Ephesus, at Smyrna, in all of the 7 congregations. Now, our trouble lies in the translation of the word. The 7 stars are the angeloi, the angels of the 7 churches. And immediately to us, the word angel brings to our minds those medieval dreams and those poetic fancies of heavenly beings who come down with glorious wings and halos and brightness and all of those things. None of which is in the Word of God. You will never find in the Bible that an angelus has wings or halos or any of those things. For you see, the word in the Hebrew describing these people is just exactly like the word in the Greek language describing those same people. In Hebrew, it's malakah. In Greek, it's angelos, and both words mean a messenger, somebody who has been committed with a communication. Now the messenger, the malakah, the angelos, can be from heaven, one of God's servants, from the hosts, sent with a special communication from God, or most of the times, it is a man who has been commissioned from the Lord to bear a message from God Jehovah. So the aster, the star, is a messenger, an angelos, a malakah, sent from God with a divine word. He is a prophet. fail, a prophet, an outspoken, a speaker out for the Lord. He is an apostolos, one who is sent from God. Now, this morning we took time to turn to these verses. I want to do it very rapidly, so just let me turn to it. Just to see that in the Bible, in Haggai 1 and 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's Malachi, Angelos, translated here in the King James, messenger. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's angel, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, you see, that word angelos, that's the way the Greek Septuagint translates it, the word Malachi in the Hebrew, or the messenger, as I have it in this King James Version. In the second chapter of Malachi, the third chapter of Malachi, I find the same thing. Malachi, messenger. Malachi, my messenger. That was not doubtless the man's name. We don't know who the man was. He's just designated as my messenger. My angel. Now in the second chapter of Malachi, verse 7, for the priest's lip should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the angelos. He is the Malachi. He's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. When I turn to the third chapter, behold, I will send my angelos, my Malachi, my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, talking about John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Here I think it would have been beautiful to translate it, the angel of the covenant, referring many times in the Bible like that, the angel of the covenant, referring to Jesus Christ. When I turn to the seventh chapter of the book of Luke, the same thing. And when the messengers of John came, when the angeloi, the messengers, the angels of John were departed, Jesus began to say, and he said, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my angel before my face, my messenger, my Malachi before my face. Just one other. The pastor of the church at Jerusalem, James, in his letter, chapter 2, verse 25, wrote, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the angeloi, the messengers, and had sent them out on another way. Therefore, when I turn to the Revelation, I know exactly from the book what these angels are. The seven stars, the astere, are the angeloi, the messengers, God's appointed servant over each one of these seven churches. I know these angels are men. They are pastors. They are God's prophets. They are God's spokesmen. I know it because, for one thing, there's no intimation in the Bible that the churches are under the administration, or supervision, or tutelage of heavenly beings. In the book of the prophet Daniel, there were nations there that were under the guardianship of angels, but no intimation of such in the Bible regarding his churches. God's churches are under the tutelage and the instruction and the administration of God's messengers, God's prophets, God's spokesmen, God's preachers, God's angels, God's messengers. I know another thing. As I look at this passage and read it, what the Spirit of God says to these messengers, these angels, you have it translated. He clips their wings if they've got wings. He burns them up if they are combustible. Now, these words of rebuke and denunciation, for example, turn to what Jesus has to say to the angel of the church at Laodicea. Why, to be impossible to conceive of those heavenly creatures up there that wait upon the ministry of God around His glory, those perfect, pure, celestial hosts that adore God day and night. It would be impossible to conceive that they could be rebuked and denounced and threatened like Jesus does to these angels that had the churches here in Asia. They were men, just like men guide the destiny of God's churches today. They were the pastors. They were His prophets and preachers and messengers. And what the Lord had to say to them was sometimes commendatory, many times an exhortation and encouragement, but every time except one, rebuke and judgment and warning and threat. So there were men. They're called stars because they are illuminators. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they declare God's Word in light and in glory to God's people. And they are called angelus, messengers, because they are bearing a communication from heaven. As Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to the Lord. Or as he said, we are stewards, we are keepers, guardians of the mysteries of God. Now when I read here in the Revelation, it is a marvelous thing that you find. For one thing, the message of God which is addressed to the angel is a word from heaven for all of the people in the churches. Each one of these seven times, it ends in the same way. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Though the message is addressed to the angel, the messenger, God's preacher, yet the message is for God's people. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith unto the churches. Then the angel is the great medium of communication between the courts of heaven and the will of God and the people that make up His holy and saved and blessed congregations. Then I know another thing from it. I know, therefore, that there is an ordained ecclesiastical ministry that God, in the economy of His grace and in the infinite wisdom of His soul, has provided for the building up of His churches and for the leading of souls into eternal life. There is an ecclesiastical ministry which is ordained of God for the shepherdly care of His people. Some summers ago, for the first time in my life, and the only time in my life, I've never had opportunity otherwise, in the state of Pennsylvania, I attended a service. Those people who, under William Penn, had founded the colony and had made it a great state. First time I was ever in a service of that church. They do not believe, that wing of it at least, does not believe in the ministry, does not believe in the ordinances. And when we went to church, we sat there in silence for all the service. Then at the end of the hour of service and silence, one man shook hands with his wife, and another fellow reached over his hand, shook hands with me, and that was the sign that the service was over. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is the ordinance of God that our souls should be led to eternal life through the delivery of the message of God. These stars are ministers called and set aside of God for the delivery of God's message to His people. So I know that in the house of the Lord, when it is arranged according to the mind of God, you will find over the congregation a servant of Christ, a minister of the gospel of the Son of God. To the angeloi of the churches at Ephesus and Smyrna, write this, said God. Well, I know another thing as I read the passage. I know, therefore, the ministry and the office of the true angel, the true messenger, the true servant of God, what he is to be, what his calling is, the definition of his duties and responsibilities. What are they? That he be the Lord over God's heritage, that he be an imperious, contumacious dictator, that he be an impossible egotist. No, he's the servant of God for
God's people. And he receives the word not by commandment of men, but of God. Then I know that the angel of the church, the pastor of the church, the messenger of God, set over the church, I know he is to hear the word of God. Let him listen. Let him be quiet and listen. I know he is to receive the message from God for God's people. Then let him open his soul and his heart and be filled with the Spirit of God. And then, let him answer for the people. Delivering God's word and God's communication for his people. This is the great responsibility of the minister over God's church. He's to be an under-shepherd. He's to be a guardian. He's to be a watchman. I have set thee, O son of man, for a watchman over my people Israel. Thou shalt hear the word in my mouth and warn them of me. When I say, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If he turn, he'll be saved. If he will not heed, he shall die. But his blood will I not require at the watchman's hand. Thou hast delivered thy soul. Then I know that the savor of life unto life and death unto death is in the hands of God's preachers, the angel of the church, God's spokesman. And when we listen to the spokesman, we listen to God, if he's true and faithful in the delivery of the word. And if we despise the spokesman, we despise God, if he is delivering the word of the Almighty. Now, I have that from the Lord himself. May I exegete here just for a moment in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew in the 19th verse, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And lest somebody come along like a certain denomination and say, we believe that to Simon Peter alone were given those keys. Lest somebody say that in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew in the 19th and the 18th verse, it says, verily I say unto you. And then our Lord speaks this to all of his preachers, all of them, to all of his disciples, apostles. Verily, truly I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That looks a great deal different as you look at it here in the English than when you look at it in the Greek. In the Greek, they are periphrastic future perfects. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. That is, when God's man stands in the power of the Holy Ghost and delivers the message of God, the thing that he does is the thing that has been ordained in heaven. And the thing that he doesn't do is the thing that has been ordained in heaven that he not do. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. God has committed that to his angels, to his messengers. I see the same thing when our Lord in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 22 and 23, appeared to his disciples. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the holy breath, the holy ruach, the holy pneuma. Receive ye the Holy Spirit, the breath, the life of God. Then, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That is, God in his wisdom has committed to the keeping care of his prophets, of his apostles, of his preachers, of his angelos, of his messengers. God hath committed unto them the saving of the souls of men. And no man is ever saved apart from the announcement and the preaching and the declaration and the proclamation of the gospel of the Son of God. There's a heathen saved who's never heard the gospel of Christ. His blood, yes. His own our hands, yes. And our great commission and authority and task and mandate is to preach the gospel to him, that if he turn, he might be saved. For the opening of the kingdom of heaven to him is given into the hands of God's angeloi, God's messengers. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except God send them? And we help God to do it. Oh, these angels, these stars that God hath appointed for the salvation of the world, the proclamation of the gospel of the Son of God. Now, may I speak a brief word of the background against which all of this is presented to the Lord's people? Where there are stars and where there are lampstands, then there's night and there's darkness and there's Stygian blackness. So the star is to shine, and the lampstand is to burn. So the preacher is to preach, and the church is to shine. Well, is that correct? That it is against the background of darkness and of midnight blackness that the preacher stands and the church works. Oh, how true, tragically so. For this earth is in a night and in a darkness. If for no other reason, just the fact that it's a vast, illimitable cemetery points out the power of him who reigns over every man's life and over every man's destiny. Yesterday, we bury one of our godly deacons. And today, just as I came over to this pulpit, the little note was handed to me after I had buried one of our saintly deacons just a little while ago while her sister was here at Sunday school. His wife passed away and died, Mrs. Sam Smith. Knocking at every door, coming at every house. This whole world is a vast cemetery. And our place, if he tarries, is already plotted and laid out and is known to God. In the darkness of this world, and the darkness of this life, is not only found in the driving of the pale horseman, but it's also seen, despite the glory of man and the grandeur and power of nations, it's seen in the savage, depraved brutality that lies just underneath. In my lifetime, twice in my lifetime, have I been horrified and amazed in astonishment at the awful depravity, savagery, merciless ruthlessness of humanity. I read it in the paper, and in some instances, in the East and in the West, I've gone to look at it for myself. Culture and brilliance and training, all captured for darkness and for night. The depravity of the human heart, the ruthlessness of the human hand. That's the world, the book says. The background against which the star shines and the church lamp burns. You have that when the gospel was announced to the world. You don't read in public the first chapter of the book of Romans. It is just a simple description of life in the Roman Empire. And in those days, messengers from God came, announcing and heralding the truth of the light and life of the Son of God. And how were they received? Read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. They were sawn asunder. They were despised and mocked cruelly. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And even the Son of God they nailed on a tree and raised him up beneath the earth and the sky. And his apostles, they martyred in their own blood. This world is a night. And the eclipse becomes more oppressive and fearful and awesome with every passing scientific advancement. Well then, why the star? And why the lampstand? Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write the mystery of the seven stars in my right hand, the stars of the angeloi, the preachers of the churches. Then why the preacher and why the church if the night is so oppressive and dark? Because wherever a preacher stands to preach the truth of the Son of God, and wherever a church is established there to burn for Christ, there will you be finding some who are turning to the light of the knowledge of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ anywhere in the world. In Africa, some have come to the burning. And in Asia, some have drawn near to the light. And in America, some turn aside to bow in repentance and faith at the feet of Jesus, the Son of God. And there they are together, the light and the darkness, the wheat and the tares, Christ and Antichrist, good and evil, in an ever-increasingly intensive war. Until the great harvester shall come and send forth his reapers and divide the one from the other. And until that holy and final and consummating day comes, he'll have his man, God's man, delivering God's message. And he'll have around him a band of people who have turned in faith and in trust to the gospel of the Son of God. I close with a poem I found dedicated to the angels, the messengers, the preachers of God's churches. Draw near, O Son of God, draw near. Us with thy flaming eye behold, still in thy church that safe to appear, and let our lampstand be of gold. Still hold the stars in thy right hand, and let them in thy luster glow. The lights in a benighted land, the angels of thy church below. Give them an ear to hear thy word. Thou speakest to the churches now. And let all tongues confess their Lord. Let every knee to Jesus bow. To the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. To the angel of the church at Smyrna, write. For these are the words of God to his people. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Oh, how heavenly that God should place us in this holy, holy hour, in this holy, holy house. God's sainted people gathered round the delivery of the word from heaven. leading us to life everlasting, to a saving faith in Christ. A knowledge of Him whom to know aright is life in this world and life in the world that is yet to come. And that's our invitation to your heart this glad, holy Sabbath day. In this balcony round, there's a stairway on either side, at the back and at the front. This great throng of people on this lower floor, there's an aisle right next to you, coming down a stairway, coming down an aisle. One of you, two of you, a family of you, as the Spirit of God shall lead in the way, make it today. At the 8:15 hour, God gave us a marvelous harvest, coming by baptism, coming by letter. May God do it again this morning. We're still on the radio. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, driving down that row in an automobile, stop. Stop. Pull to the side of the road. Bow your head over the steering wheel. Say, Lord, today I take Thee as my own personal Savior, to live, to die in the blessed hope of Christ. Or at the home, in the living room, or in the bedroom, kneeling by the side of the bed, kneeling by the side of a living room chair. Lord, I give my life, my soul, my destiny to Thee. Here I am. God, save and keep me forever. Are the throng of people in God's house this morning, you, coming to Christ, coming to us, while we stand and while we sing.